Chapter 7. Powder and Arms. Aboard the Hispaniola, it quickly became clear that Squire Trelawney did not hold all the crew in the same fondness. He liked the mate, Mr. Arrow, well enough, but the captain was a different matter entirely. Captain Smollett was a sharp-looking man who seemed fiercely angry with everyone and everything aboard. He met us in our cabin. "All's well, I hope," the squire said. "Shipshape and seaworthy?"
"I'll speak plain," the captain said. "I don't like this cruise. I don't like the men, and I certainly don't like my first mate."
"And how do you like that ship?" the squire asked.
"She seems a clever craft," the captain said. "The proof of her will be at sea."
"Perhaps you don't like your employer either," the squire snapped. Dr. Livesey stepped in then. "Be easy," he said to his friend. "Tell me why you don't like the cruise, Captain."
"I was told this sail was secret," the captain said. "But treasure is on the lips of every crewman. I don't like treasure voyages, and I don't like having every man and the parrot know I'm on a treasure voyage before I do."
"The parrot?" the doctor said.
"Silver's parrot," the captain answered.
Dr. Livesey turned a stern look toward the squire, who had apparently not been quite as closed-mouthed as he'd promised. "And the crew?" the doctor asked. "And Mr. Arrow?"
"I like to choose my own crew," the captain said, "though they seem ready enough, but Mr. Arrow is too easy on the men, and they don't listen to him. A mate needs to keep discipline."
"All right," the doctor said. "Tell us, Captain, what do you want us to do?"
"Are you determined to go on this voyage?" the captain asked.
"Like iron," the squire said.
"Then move the men you truly trust so they are berthed near your cabin," the captain advised, "and move the weapons and powder here as well so only you and your men can get to it."
"You fear mutiny?" the doctor asked.
"I believe in caution."
And with that, the captain took his leave. The squire sulked a bit, but the doctor thumped him on the back and said,
"I believe we have two honest men aboard for certain, Long John Silver and Captain Smollett."
The squire muttered a bit about the captain, but couldn't remain angry long. We were hard at work moving the powder and changing the sleeping arrangements. During the bustle, Silver came aboard and asked about it.
"We'll miss the morning tide with all this," he cried. "My orders," the captain said. "You should head below and begin supper for the hands."
"Aye, aye, sir,"
Silver said, and disappeared at once in the direction of the ship's galley. Then the captain spotted me standing at the doctor's side.
"You, ship's boy, off to the cook and get some work. I'll have no favorites on my ship. Every hand works."
I hurried, but decided I agreed with the squire about the captain.
We worked hard through the night and sailed the next morning. I was dog tired, but excitement kept me on deck as we began. I knew adventure lay before me. The voyage was an easy one with a good ship and a quick crew, but the captain's concerns about Arrow soon proved true. The men paid the mate little attention, and several times Mr. Arrow staggered about the decks as if he'd been drinking. Finally, one morning dawned and no one could find Mr. Arrow at all. All agreed he must have staggered overboard in the dark.
"I suppose he saved me the trouble of clapping him in irons," the captain said.
And that seemed the last anyone spoke of Mr. Arrow. The crew pitched in to make up the loss, and we sailed smoothly on.